the book of Mark. We concluded our capital campaign recently, and many of you heard a couple of faith stories from two ladies in our congregation. Now, a faith story is really easy to give if nobody in the audience knows you and you know nobody in the audience. But if you're talking to people who know you, know your foibles and faults and everything that you do, faith stories can be a little bit more difficult. It takes a courageous person to do it, and yet Christ wants us to do this, to be a witness of our faith. Lola and I arrived in Tucson about 19 years ago. We moved because we had a daughter here and a son-in-law in the military. He was in the Middle East a lot at that time. 6-year-old grandson and numerous golf courses because we really liked to play golf. And it was our intent to go to church on Sunday morning and occupy a pew, play a lot with that grandson, and play a lot of golf. And we started out at Fountain of Life, and things were going well, got involved there. And then God introduced us to a mission plant out in the Vail area called Christ Lutheran Vail. He did let us play some golf, but we liked his plan a lot better than the one we had set out, because it has been a very wonderful experience. And I mention that golf thing because I want to talk about it a little bit later in terms of something that happened to me in a golf match and the lady in our gospel message. You know, it's hard for us to view things as they were then because of everything that we have today. So let's review a little bit what life might have been like at the time this story took place. One, the geography of the area in which they lived, it's about the same as it is here. It's about the same latitude, semi-desert area. But they were kind of collected in and very close, kept very close quarters because of the desert area, the need for water. And it all takes place around the Sea of Galilee and then on down to the Dead Sea, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, all of these areas that are fairly close. A week or so ago, we were in a Bible study, and it has a DVD with it, and it's led by a lady. She was giving us some idea of the life that was there, and she used the village or settlement of Capernaum, and we hear a lot about Capernaum in the Bible. And I know that some of you have actually visited that area because you've made trips to the Holy Land. But what is there now, of course, are foundations and areas where you could see walls. Homes were small. We know that sometimes they had a second story because at the Last Supper, Christ had told his disciples to go find a gentleman and he would have a place prepared for them in the upper room. But other than that, things were very tight. I don't know. I think they had doors, probably. I don't know what they had as far as windows. I'm sure they didn't have any double-pane sliding glass windows in those days. But in any event, it was close enough that conversations from one house could be heard to another. And if there were loud voices in one, the entire community probably knew about it. And she gave us an idea of how big Capernaum was. She said, the size of 4 city blocks. That's not real big. Now, we don't have a lot of city blocks in our area, but in the older part of Tucson, there are still some city blocks. So people were gathered close together. Another thing to consider is the fact that Jesus spent his 30-plus years in that area, and it's really a very small area. You know, we have all sorts of modern conveniences, cars, airplanes, cell phones, social media, and all of these things. But not so then. Jesus spent most of his life on earth in that small area, and it goes from maybe the Dead Sea up to the Sea of Galilee, an area oh, maybe 70, 80, 90 miles, and it's only 25, 35 miles wide at the most. This is according to the maps. I know I'm being maybe not as accurate as I could be. But he traveled, and he did his 3 years with the disciples, traveling back and forth and in that area. And because there's a lot of people there, word of mouth spread. And all of the time as he was traveling and teaching, he was healing people and feeding people. We know of two occasions when he fed thousands of people. So everyone began to know about him. And in this particular case, as he is gathering people around him, a man named Jairus comes, a synagogue ruler, and he asks him to come and heal his daughter, who is 12 years old, and she is dying. And he goes on the way, and Our Lady in the gospel lesson decides she needs to find him because she has had this problem for a long time. And I think we need to think a little bit about what life was like for ladies in those days. When we read the story or did the study on Ruth and Naomi, we know that Naomi and her husband and a couple of sons went into a strange land because of a famine. While there, one of the sons married Ruth. And then, by disease, the sons and the husband were lost. Ruth and Naomi were probably penniless almost. So they returned to Israel. They couldn't own property because they were women. So they had to depend on relatives. And kinsmen redeemers was the term used for it. We know the account of Boaz and Ruth. So this lady had this illness, one of bleeding. We can surmise what it may have been, but the Bible doesn't talk about it, and Luke, as a physician, doesn't talk about it either. So the issue here really is, yes, she has this problem, but it is also one of faith. And this had gone on for 12 years. She'd consulted many physicians of the day. None could help her. And whatever her resources were, she had spent. She has one hope. She has heard of Jesus. She has heard of his healing. And she has enough faith to try to seek him out. And what courage it took for her to find him. But she went forward. Now, as she's trying to find him, I'm sure that when she sees him, she isn't tapping some guy on the shoulder saying, "Please, sir, would you let me pass?" I can almost see her in a crowd because there's a crowd around Jesus. And she's looking for little openings here and there and wants to get to him. And she says, "If I could only touch his garment, I know I could be healed." And she went on and found him. And she got close enough, and she reached out and touched his garment. Now, a few minutes ago, I mentioned golf. One day while playing, I swung the club a little hard, three discs herniated in my lower back. You know, I've told the story before. It was about 3 months before I got into surgery and had a great neurosurgeon, a good result. About halfway through that, I was on my knees praying a lot. "Please take this from me." It didn't happen. When I changed the prayer to, "Please give me the strength to carry the burden," there was almost immediate relief. I know that God answers prayer. I tell the story a lot because I want to be a witness to it. But in my situation, this only went on for about 3 months. This lady had gone on for 12 years. I had the hope of modern medicine. She had only the hope of getting to Jesus. And when she touched the garment, she was healed immediately. And at that time, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Oh, come on, Master." Maybe he didn't say it quite that way. He said, people are all around us. They're jostling us. They're hitting us. Jesus said, no, I know. Someone touched me. My power went out. And as I thought about it, I thought, gee, is Jesus weak now? Has he lost his power? Not true at all. In every case when he healed someone, he used his divine power, which he sent out into that individual for the healing process. And he knew that that power had gone into someone who touched me. Now the lady knows that she's going to have to come forward. And as she thinks about it, perhaps, she wonders, well, what's going to happen? You know, are people going to be angry at me because I approached Christ? I'm a woman. I approached Christ. But she came trembling to Jesus, and she said, it was I. And he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. I think it's a tremendous story for us as far as our faith is concerned. She had great faith, great courage, and we need to continue with such great faith and great courage, because we know that someday we will be with Christ where there is no illness and no pain. Keep the faith in his name. Amen. And in gratitude for everything that he has done for us, we bring our offering.